All right. Thank you very much. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Revelation. We've been out of it a while here. I appreciate Brother Perkins taking care. I was listening on the radio best I could last Sunday and enjoyed the lesson on Jonah. And real good. There's still two chapters to go. We've been going through the book of Revelation chapter by chapter and verse by verse. And some of you get tired of me reviewing, so I'll probably tire you some more this morning. But I'm not going to go much further on the two chapters to kind of update you on what my situation is. Sonia's been up at Stevens in West Virginia and going to his doctor up there, and she's improved a lot. In fact, it's been the best 10 days she's had since this thing first hit her. And so we're proud of that. I'm not proud of the way I batch at home. Somebody come to the door, said, "This is the line, you don't come in." My wife would not want you to see the house. Me and my grandson are not the best housekeepers by a long shot. We're both procrastinators. I procrastinate and wait on him. He procrastinates and waits on me. Neither one does it, so it don't get done. Amen. It's something like that. Anyway, she is improving. I am hoping to get a call, maybe even this week, that I can go back up. And anyway, that's the excuse I got for not finishing the last two chapters. The other excuse is, with all the stuff going on in the news, the war, and you've been watching the war right in your living room if you've been having some time. I did have some time while I was trying to have that baby. But anyway, it's worth addressing. There's a lot of questions coming about it, and we know the answers are in the Bible. We don't know all the exact details, or we especially don't know the timing on everything. But we certainly do know that God's not taken by surprise on it. It's already been written. He knows what's going on. And we'll say some things about it. I will show you a couple of things maybe to think about. And I'm going to back up just a little bit. We were supposed to start chapter 21. But I'm going to ask you to go back to chapter 20. And we're just going to read a couple of verses. And I'll use that to make a few comments to you this morning. We ask you to go back and start in chapter 20 of Revelation, verse 7. "And when the 1,000 years are expired," it's amazing how the print in my Bible has faded. Couldn't be my eyes, could it? "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." Now we're talking about the millennial reign of Christ, when Satan is prisoned for 1,000 years. The Lord's Prayer, so called by everybody, "Thy kingdom come," it's the kingdom age. For 1,000 years, the Lord Jesus is going to rule and reign from the throne in Jerusalem. And it says, "Then," talking about Satan, "shall go out," in verse 8, "to deceive the nations." Boy's doing a good job of it now, too. "To deceive the nations." This is at the end of the kingdom age, at 1,000 years. "Deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. They went up on the breadth of the earth, and compassed the camp of the saints about in the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." Now I'm going to stop there just to say this is at the end of the 1,000 years when this takes place. We are in front of the 1,000 years. It has not happened yet. The kingdom has not come yet. We believe that we are about chapter 4 in Revelation, waiting for the trumpet to sound to call out the bride, the church, the saved. And then the tribulation period, the day of Jacob's trouble, will begin on earth. Daniel tells us it'll be 7 years long. The great tribulation will be the half of it, the last half, the last 3.5 years. First 3.5 seems to be the time the Antichrist is able to show up as a peacemaker, get his kingdom going, deceive the whole world, and then God begins to plague the kingdom of the Antichrist. And we've studied that now for the last number of chapters here in the book of Revelation, when God begins to release his judgments from heaven on the Antichrist. So that kind of setting we have come through. We have come through now, and we find a 1,000-year reign in chapter 20. We find at the end of the 1,000 years, the devil and false prophet, or the devil is cast into the fire where the beast and the false prophet have already been burning for 1,000 years. Then we start in chapter 21 and 22 and get a great description of the victory, the new heavens, the new earth, the new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, as Molly was referencing in type a while ago. Anyway, I'm changing to go to the news just a little bit. I'm going to scatter it a little bit because I've had a lot of questions and don't know all the answers, but I certainly do know some of the things the Bible has referenced for all these years. I've been preaching. I was pastoring 53 years when I resigned here, 3 years at the country church, 50 years here. Before that, I was blessed to have some good preachers that I listened to that taught and preached the Bible. I was able to go to a good Bible-believing college and study there. So all that time, I've seen and preached much and tied it. You know, my weakness probably was tying so much into the world events. But you know what? Brother Parsons is looking up some of my old tape sermons and trying to put them in a package. I'm talking about old, back when cassette was late technology, yeah. Right? And he said, you know, you sound about the same. No, I don't. I sound a little younger back then. But the message was the same. The message is, of course, that Jesus is coming, and here are all the reasons why. And so I preached those through the years. Now, I've got the joy now of looking back and saying, I told you so. Yeah, it is happening. It is being fulfilled. It is moving fast. And still, I can't give you any prediction about tomorrow or next week. I can just tell you God's got it all planned, and it's coming out through his plan. He's let evil run its course, but the day is going to come. I've told you the story many times. I had an old bird dog, and I tied him to a rope because he was chasing a noisy truck. You know what? He jumped up and ran after that truck the next day the same way, but he came to the end of the rope, and it was a difference when he hit the end. And evil is going to hit the end of the rope. God has given it rope, given it time, given man long suffering of God, time to repent. But we look around and see there's not much repentance. In fact, it seems like everywhere you turn, they're getting further from what God said was right, what is true. Even here in Florida, they're fussing because our governor and legislature got a bill passed to stop the perverts from teaching your kids in kindergarten and first grade, that they might, boys might be girls and girls might be boys and all that junk. Thank God we've got some leadership still in our state, because there's some other states really hurting. And we ought to pray for the governor and the legislature that are trying to do right. Amen. I'm going to just say a few things here concerning the news. If you watch the news at all, of course, it was filled with the war stuff. And even the liberal channels, and there's a bunch of them, the fake news, even they're having to admit some of the stuff that is going on now. But a lot of questions about it. Seeing war, so to speak, in the newsroom. Now, first let me say some things we can learn from it. Number one, learn how bad it's going to be when the saved are called out. We still are the restraining force in this world. We still are the salt of the earth. People that know the truth, according to the word of God, are still all that is holding evil from having its total run across planet Earth. Can you imagine what it would be when the saved are called out? Bad is happening fast now. Somebody said, well, elections have consequences. We're filling up our tanks now with consequences. Right? It's the most amazing thing today. I got an old car or two that if you were to fill up the gas tank, you put more money in the tank than the car's worth. You understand what I'm saying? We've gone to some crazy times. And didn't have to be. Didn't have to be at all. We got weakness in our leadership like we've never had before. We got bad decisions being made like never been made before. We got dumb stuff, absurd stuff going on. And our enemies smell that weakness. And they take advantage of that weakness. And we're seeing that. Now, I praise God for the spirit of the Ukrainians fighting. I really do, and I think you ought to pray for them. But let me also say some things we can learn from that. It's a good thing they didn't turn their guns in. That ought to settle the question in America about the Second Amendment. Now, I know we can't fight jet airplanes and bombs with rifles, but when it comes house to house and street to street, you may be proud you saved old Betsy and got it over the mantelpiece and pull it down and stop whoever it is coming in the door. Americans, America came about by a well-armed militia. That means the common folks had guns, and when they began to write their laws, they wrote laws to keep those guns. Now, it's dumb what is going on in our nation today. By the way, as you see the spirit of the Ukrainians fighting, you see, and it's sad to see the babies and the mothers go on and the men have to go back home and fight. Men that have not trained to be soldiers, but get the weapons they can find and fight to defend the homeland. And I do praise God to see that kind of spirit. But let me say this about it. Why are they fighting like that? Listen, the Ukraine used to be under communism. They're fighting now because they don't want to go back under it. In America, we're stupid enough now that we got a crowd out there that says, get rid of our democracy and republic and go under communism. If they'd had the same taste of it that the Ukrainians had, they'd be of the same spirit. Our young people are being brainwashed today. And oh, it's terrible how they are. But somebody says, well, where's America? Where's America in the Bible? Well, I'll tell you where it is. Every time you read in the Bible where it says all nations, America's in all nations. When the psalmist said, the wicked shall be cast into hell, and all nations that forget God, there we are in that verse. Because we have known God and knew what was right and tasted freedom that came because of following God's laws. And if we give it up, we're in that verse. Sadly, we see a crowd in our nation today that wants to do that. We're learning a lot as we watch the war in the living room. We're learning the cruelty and inhumanity of man to man. Now, it's one thing to have a missile go astray and hit a hospital. It's something else to target it. And it's something else to just to try to destroy the population, not fighting army to army. And by the way, I feel sorry, very sorry, not only for the Ukrainians, but for those young Russian soldiers that are in there not by their own will. See a young lady back here that was host to us when we were in Russia, her family. And I remember us riding down the street. Her mother, Vera, was interpreting for us. And I remember being in the car with some of the Baptists over there and coming up to stop streets in Moscow and seeing a young soldier boy handcuffed between two men, agents, crossing the street. And Vera and some of the Russian Christians would say, they caught another one. So what do you mean? He was trying to run. He was trying to get away. In other words, he was in there against his will. In America, we still have a voluntary army, even though they're being abused and worked on now in a bad way. It's one thing to be arrested, so to speak, or against your will brought in and then made to do things you don't want to do. And some of those soldier boys over there right now, they're just teenagers. Just teenagers. And you give them a choice, they wouldn't be there. They're not fighting with the same spirit the Ukrainians are fighting with, protecting their home. They're being commanded to pull the trigger, so to speak, and to fire the missiles or the bombs or whatever else that's going on. So I'm sad for them too. We better recognize that the devil is behind evil, and he uses men, and he uses nations, and he uses, and when he's in charge, he's cruel. He's inhumane. And that's the stuff that we're seeing played out. Now, what we are seeing is a preview of coming things. I want you to open your Bible here to Revelation chapter 6, and I want you to notice some words that are showing up in the news. Now, I'll update you quickly. You remember we studied through chapter 6. Chapter 6 is where the seals are being opened. Jesus, as the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world, has shown up in chapter 5 before the throne. It tells us that he's redeemed us through his blood. It tells us that he was the only one found worthy to take the book out of the hand of him that sat upon the throne. And then the seals of that seven seal book begins to be opened in chapter 6. And I want you to look at that just a little bit. I know we went through it, and I hope you understand this. Often chapter 6 is referred to as the four horsemen of the apocalypse. I heard a news commentator say this week, and he's a liberal. I've heard him before. He's not a fundamentalist. He's not a Bible believer. He's a liberal. But I heard him say, as they were describing one of the reporters on the field over there in the cities being destroyed, and they were talking about, and they said the food was running out. And somebody said famine will come. And this liberal commentator said it sounds like the four horsemen of the apocalypse. And I thought, you know more than you want us to know, you know. And the truth of the matter is, that's the results of war. So I look here in chapter 6, and I want you to just look at a couple of verses. Again, I'm scattering this a little bit. It says in verse 10, "And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven." I got the wrong one. I want to move a little bit deeper in. I'm in chapter 6. No, I'm not. I'm in chapter 8. All right, it says faded print again. I'm sorry about that. I'll get it right here in a minute. Drop with me in chapter 6 down to about verse 5. "And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, 'Come and see.' And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. And he that sat on him had a pair of balances," scales would say, "in his hand." Now, we've talked about this. Each horse represents something. The black horse represents famine. And the scales here represents weighing out food. Watch it as it goes. It says a measure of wheat. Wheat's in the news. They're talking about running out of wheat. By the way, America, your loaf of bread's going to cost more now. Did you know that? Little did a lot of folks know, but we're getting some wheat from Ukraine, getting wheat from Russia, and all this business that's going on. So wheat's going up. So notice what it says. A measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine. Now, we probably would read this in the old days and say that's olive oil, but oil is oil. And the oil's also what keeps your motors running, your vehicles going. And so what do we have a scarcity of? We're fixing to have, if you get rid of the oil, and you're going to also be hitting the food with it. the farming, all the way from the farmer to the trucker driving down the road to bring it to the from the stock room to the store. That's where we're at right now. That's what's going. Oh, you say we're going to get electric cars. Dream on. Dream on. Be a fool if you want to be. How many of you ever had a dead battery? Electric cars run off of batteries. Where do you get the batteries? Well, we've been getting most of that stuff from China. Not our friend. And I remember the Biden administration, when everybody was fussing about them closing down, and by the way, they do need blame for this, closing down the gas pipeline, opening up the Russian pipeline. It's just stupid, absurd stuff. But I remember what they said. They said, well, you 40-something thousand jobs lost. They said, well, tell them to go make solar panels. That reminds me of the old medieval queen whose people came to her and they said the population is starving. They are hungry. She was so out of touch. She said, well, let them eat cake. Anybody remember that in history? Let them eat cake. That's just not any dumber than what we're hearing out of Washington, D.C. right now and the administration that's in control. Nothing any dumber than that. No, the electric car may be down the road. I doubt it will ever. I don't think time will ever allow it to become as mobile and used as regular as the gasoline and diesel engines. They're nice if you can afford one, number one. And then number two, if you don't want to go over about 300 or 400 miles without stopping. Now, when I go to West Virginia, I get about 800 to 1,000 miles before I stop. That means I'd have to stop somewhere and get a good battery charge somewhere. The whole thing is impractical in the, but you know, part of taking our freedom away is to stop us from moving around. Stop our freedom to go where we want to go. All this stuff, folks, you can see all this and learn a lot from what you're watching on TV now with those folks struggling over there in the Ukraine. And so two words here, the word wheat and the word all, shows up in the context of the scarcity that's going to happen here. And the black horse of famine. Yes, when it really gets down to the necessities, food is a big item, isn't it? It really is. And you got people right now running from the war that is really, really hurting in that area. Now, good is still in existence. It's good to see Poland and other places with people showing compassion and opening up and taking in the folks that are running for their lives. And all of that is good. And as I said a while ago, evil is in the saddle, but it is being resisted. And we ought to resist every way we can and take a stand everywhere that we possibly can. But we also ought to wise up, not be fooled. And from what's happening to those folks, we ought not let happen to us. We ought to take some stand on it while we can. And so we can learn some things here. Previews, so to speak, of what's coming. Now, quickly, and I won't have time to hardly touch on it much, open your Bibles to Ezekiel 38. Go back to in the Old Testament. If you get to Isaiah, turn back to your right. Come on up to Jeremiah and Ezekiel. And I read a few verses there out of chapter 20 about Gog and Magog. Now we have a description, a big description going on in Ezekiel 36 through 39. You have chapters showing that we love the song that the quartet sang sometime for us. These old bones, you know. The leg bone connected to the thigh bone and all that. Well, that comes right out of the Bible. That's the revival of Israel as a nation. The bones coming out of the graves, coming back together, coming back to the land. You have that described. Then you have Israel that's always been divided between the tribes, coming back to be united. All right, we live in that time. They're not too split today. All the tribes are together. They're back in the land. The bones have come back together. The graves of the nations have been opened, and Israel is back in context. So now, as we go to Ezekiel 38, we find a northern coalition of nations getting together, whose ultimate move will be coming across to other nations, taking others. Right now, the president of the Ukraine is warning that we're just the beginning, that Putin is not going to stop till he keeps moving on. He'll move through Poland. He'll move on through these other nations. Now, I read to you here in Ezekiel a few words, and I killed too much time before I got to it, so I'll just abbreviate it. The word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Ezekiel 38:1, Son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Many people argue that the word Meshach is the word Moscow, as you get it today. And Tubal, Tobolsky, prophesy against them. You got notes in your Scofield Bible, I think, that are pretty accurate on this. Verse 3. And say, thus saith the Lord, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. I will turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws. Now think on this word, Brother Morgan sitting over here, he and I talked about it a little bit. We're seeing hooks being placed in this northern leader and nation to pull them down to fulfill the prophecy that God says about them right here. I spoke about the young teenage soldiers not wanting to do what they're doing. They've been pulled into it. But then the whole nation is being pulled into it. And there's a coalition of nations. I'd ask you to read this because my time is up. We find in verse 5 here, Persia, that's Iran. Ethiopia, communist now. Gomer, down in verse 6. Togomar, probably Turkey, best guess. But all this coalition of nations, did you hear in the news, late news, last little bit of news I heard last night before I went to bed? We still have a presence in Iraq. You know that, don't you? Yeah. We still have a consulate or an embassy or whatever you want to call it over there. And last night, they discovered that missiles were being shot at it. And guess where they were coming from? Iran. Persia. Iran. Isn't it kind of interesting that we got Russia sitting in the room with the Ayatollahs negotiating a nuclear treaty? And Russia is speaking on our behalf. See, this is you couldn't write it no stupider than it's getting. No more foolish than what you're hearing. Now, I heard Mr. Putin on a little spot on the news where he was welcoming 40,000 volunteer troops coming in from Syria to help him. See how the coalition of nations is getting together? I can't show you any verses, but if you study the Old Testament, you'll find God oftentimes warned the Jews of the day that the Assyrians or Syria would come against them out of the north down toward them. In this passage I ask you to look at Ezekiel 38:39, you do well to read it. You'll find that God makes a statement like this. He said, this is what my prophets spoke of old time. You are the one. I told them many years ago you would do this. Now you're doing it. Well, time is up on it. And I still got 2 chapters to go in the book of Revelation. And if another war don't break out, I might get into that some. If I'm here next week, who knows? Amen. All right. God bless you. Let's take our break.